Hi, I'm Becky Parker Geist, and I have with me today Marlena Fiol and Ed O'Connor, authors of Called. Marlena, Ed, thank you so much for joining me.
It's our pleasure.
Oh, privilege and pleasure.
Well, let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote Called.
Well, there are at least two reasons. One is it's just a really good story, and anyone loving historical novels will be swept away by the intrigue, the romance, the political upheavals.
It's also a story of political intrigue in another world. It's a story of Paraguay, South America. And I think what's really important is that the main characters, Dr. John and Clara Schmidt, have well-documented lives. Much has been written by them and about them, but it's not out for a general audience. And we wanted to make their story available to a much larger group of people, a broader group of people.
And I know this is not your first book. You have previously published your memoir, Marlena, Nothing Bad Between Us. Could you tell us a little bit about how that book, Nothing Bad Between Us, relates to Called?
Yeah, the protagonists are similar. The setting in Paraguay, South America is similar. Big difference is that the memoir is an intimate look into a daughter's experience of Mennonite medical missionaries, whereas the sweeping epic tale that spans 60 years, and it's not from the perspective of a daughter. It's written from the perspective of the two main characters and a few other characters, but mostly the two main characters, John and Clara.
So clearly you must have drawn on some other sources, since this is more than just your own perspective. Tell us a little bit about your writing process and the research that you had to conduct in order to bring this to fruition.
Well, I will let Ed begin there because he's our researcher.
Yeah, we've gone through several stages of learning to write together. Basically, what it comes down to now is that I will do years of research, and it's taken 6 or 7 years of research to get the material for Call together. And then Marlena will do a first draft. She will feed it to me.
And then we fight about it.
Well, we got to provide some feedback before the fight starts. And we do argument. We are in each other's faces about it. And the product is better as a result of that. And it's actually good for our relationship.
Well, that's good news. Let's dive a little deeper. Could you tell us about the process of turning data from historical documents into a compelling story?
Everything about John and Clara Schmidt is accurate. It is based upon significant research, and their life is clearly documented and put forward in this book. Beyond their life, however, to make their life clearer.
Yeah, and to make this a readable story, we consolidated multiple characters into a single role at least 3 times. The role of Konrad Wolf is actually multiple real characters. The same is true for Anastasia Brighton. And the same is also true for Nati, who is a nurse at the end of the book. These are real characters. However, multiple characters are wrapped up into a single role in order to make the story readable.
Yeah, multiple forces are wrapped up in those characters also that impinged on John and Clara's life.
But again, I think the important point is what Ed just talked about, and that is the fact that what we have written about John and Clara, including their inner lives, is based on 740 written sources, including journals and diaries, which gave us a glimpse into what was going on inside that many people know nothing about at this point.
And materials from several libraries, including the Mennonite Central Committee, that was very supportive in providing documents for decades of interaction between John and Clara and the Mennonite Central Committee, which was their sponsor.
Interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you to tell us a little more about what some of those sources were that you were able to access in order to do your research.
Yeah, we had numerous libraries open their stacks to us, including the Goshen College, a Mennonite college library, and including the Mennonite Central Committee archives were really, really important. They had letters and telegrams and all sorts of reports from the years that we've written about. That was incredibly helpful.
We also were given opportunities to spend time with the archivist in the Fahrenheim colony in South America, in the Chaco of Paraguay, and he was very helpful in getting documents to us that others might not have had access to. We also had many conversations with people who knew John and Clara and provided stories about them that were helpful to us in making them real in terms of their lives.
Wow, that must have been a really fascinating journey and process for you to gather materials about your parents.
Yeah, there are very few children, I believe, who've had the privilege and the honor that I have had to so deeply get to know my parents.
You know your parents better than most any other children on the planet, I would think, at this point.
I would agree. That is probably true. Amazing. When you were writing Called, who would you say you were writing it for? What was the audience that you had in mind as you wrote?
I think we were writing for two separate audiences. One, the general population of people who like historical novels, who are drawn to action, adventure, political intrigue, romance. But there's a second audience also that's very important to us.
Yeah, it's the Mennonites in South America, in Canada, in Europe, and in the United States, who either still know John and Schmidt or certainly know of them. And so it's also that, it's a much smaller audience, but nevertheless an audience keenly interested in the story of John and Clara Schmidt.
Many of these people provided resources for John and Clara Schmidt to keep their work going in South America. And sometimes we have contacts in ways we wouldn't expect. For example, Marlena had a student in one of her executive classes who, when she found out who Marlena was, said, "Well, my parents used to provide money to support your parents." And those are kind of fun interactions that one wouldn't expect to have in the world.
Indeed. So I have a question about sort of the journey. I'm wondering how your own spiritual journey over your lifetime might be reflected in the spiritual journey of your characters. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I think very often characters reflect the journey of the authors. In some ways, in this case, it's more of the reverse. We have been inspired by our characters, John and Clara, and they continue to be there as models for us as we attempt to live more fully from a place of integrity and justice.
I mean, they truly brought us home to support their work, not because they ever asked us to, but because we are sufficiently inspired by their lives that we, to the degree possible, provide financial support and other forms of support for the Mennonite Central Committee. I want to say a little bit more about this. Marlena, as a child in a strict Mennonite home, broke away. She was rebellious, and it has taken a long way back to feel highly comfortable for her and joyous to sit in a circle of Mennonites singing in four-part harmony. This whole journey has made that possible. And the other piece that I think I so respect is to have watched Dr. Schmidt and his wife Clara, the main protagonists, who never lost track of their fundamental core beliefs, but they softened over time in terms of being respectful of a much wider range of people and values in the world. And their love that I felt from them in that latter part of their life was remarkable. They would have had many reasons to feel otherwise, and they were fully embracing.
So in this case, it's more of a case of characters inspiring the authors rather than being inspired to write about characters because of our own lives.
You know, we sometimes will hear fiction writers talk about how their characters drive the action of their story, or they like they're having to write the story based on what their characters are telling them to do. And often with nonfiction, it feels more like we're gathering information and sharing it. Seems like maybe what we have here is almost a kind of hybrid between those two.
I think you've got that just right. I hadn't thought about this before, but certainly with all of the data and the references we have to rely on, there was a story there But it also flowed through us in ways that we didn't expect.
Yep.
Are there any lessons that you feel like you'd like to impart around some of the themes here about maybe how the strength of conviction can be a challenge in personal relationships or causing personal turmoil?
Strength of convictions can cause enemies, cause people to return and resist, I should say, cause people to resist that which is pushed at them with such hard conviction. The other side of that, however, is that without that hard conviction, significant results, great results are not possible in the world.
Yeah, and Dr. John definitely was a hard-driving man who made many enemies. I think it's important to remember the role that Clara played in calming those waves that John would make, and that that also is a part of great revolutions, is that there's someone there with a collaborative peacemaking spirit.
He would bull his way forward, and she would clean up the messes behind him.
Sounds like an important part of the overall equation. I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about your thoughts regarding our times and their times. I'm thinking about how we seem to be so vastly divided, and often that's driven by really strong convictions on one side of a fence or another. I'd love to hear about what you see as the connection between what was going on in their times, and maybe some examples, and what's going on in ours.
Well, one of the tragic connections, one of the sad connections, is that their fight for the humane treatment of leprosy patients met up with such strong resistance. And there were so many divisive and politicized truths flying around. The treatment that we now know is the proper treatment of leprosy, which Dr. John fought for, took over a decade for him to put in place because of these forces. And I think we're seeing some of that today with the many oppositional views about COVID. And as long as there is that kind of divisiveness, it's hard to find solutions to these problems.
Sounds like we need more Claras.
We need Claras in the world. I love it.
And if you were to speak to the question about what would you like your readers or listeners to take away from their experience with your book or audiobook, what would you say that would be?
I'd like two things. I'd like them to be inspired with regard to what might be possible in their own lives, and I'd like them to take away pleasure, because it's an enjoyable read from our point of view. For people who like, as I've said before, adventure and political intrigue and romance and action in another world, Paraguay, South America, there's a real opportunity for joy here in the reading of this book.
Joy, and I wouldn't mind if it also brought them to tears occasionally.
Absolutely.